Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Amen. Our word of meditation this evening is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The word of our God. Pastor, are ghosts real? Pastor, can people still get possessed by the devil? Pastor, is it wrong to play with an Ouija board? Pastor, would you go to a palm reader or a crystal ball gazer? Pastor, do you believe in poltergeists? You know, sometimes it's important to set aside regular classwork to allow my high school students to ask questions about things on their mind. And every year, without exception, many of their questions have to do with the questions you just heard. Matters dealing with evil and the devil. And although I'd rather talk about Jesus and heaven and living a Christian life in this fallen world, it's not bad to talk about the spiritual forces of evil. After all, there is a certain obsession about those things in society. Whether it's Ghost Adventures or 60 other identified paranormal TV shows, or movies like The Exorcist or Paranormal Activity 1 through 6, with 7 on the way, people have a certain fascination with the dark side. And my concern for my students, at least, is that for many, dabbling in evil is nothing more than entertainment, something that they would even find interesting to experience sometimes. But God's word paints an entirely different picture of evil for us. We are in a life and death struggle against forces much stronger than us, against forces that only want one thing, our eternal destruction and damnation. And we are completely helpless against the forces that reside in the heavenly realms, forces that we can't see, and who have the advantage of attacking us from every side at every moment. And you and I know that we have only one line of defense, the Son of God who goes forth to war to defeat our enemies for us. So why talk about evil? Well, Paul makes it pretty clear in our text that we need to know the enemy. In military terms, it's called reconnaissance. When the children of Israel were about to enter the promised land, the Lord commanded Moses to send 12 spies to scout out the land, to do a reconnaissance mission. When Jesus told his disciples to count the cost of following him, he used a reconnaissance illustration. He said, "Or what king, as he goes out to confront another king in war, will not first sit down and consider if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. Reconnaissance means know your enemy. The reconnaissance report from Scripture tells us this about our enemy. First of all, according to our general Jesus Christ, the father of the evil forces in the heavenly realms is Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning and did not remain standing in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he lies, he speaks from what he is, because he is a liar and the father of heavenly lies. Never expect anything good and true to come from the house of evil. It may sound good, it may sound reasonable, but it is not truth. Adam and Eve found out the hard way when they were confronted with that first lie. Did God really say? So you and I, because of sin, hear those lies in our conscience and in our world that is convinced that there really isn't any right and wrong. Someone rightly said, there are a million ways to tell a lie, but there is only one way to tell the truth. And it just reminds us that the father of lies is good at what he does to attack us. The second discovery from God's word is that he has a well-equipped and well-organized army at his side. Our life and death struggle is, again, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Rulers, authorities, spiritual forces remind us that Satan has a very large army working for him. World rulers of this darkness? How many political powers have ruled and enacted laws that defy the commandments of the ruler of the universe? Do we see Satan's lies promoted in our own government today with the acceptance and approval of so many of its citizens? Finally, he says heavenly places. And that reminds us that Satan and his armies have a bird's eye view, a global view of the battlefield. Nothing escapes them. They know our weak and unguarded moments. They know the chinks in our armor. You know, there's no worse feeling than that of feeling helpless. And Paul's picture should only leave us feeling completely helpless against this great and powerful enemy. And of course, the third discovery of our reconnaissance does not surprise us at all. Satan's greatest weapon is sin. And again, we are helpless against sin because, as Paul says earlier in the book of Ephesians, you were dead in transgressions and sins. And just as we don't expect a dead person to dance a jig, we can't expect our sinful nature to do anything else than sin. It is incapable of doing anything that is pleasing in God's eyes. So when we do a self-evaluation, a reconnaissance of ourselves, I guess we can call it, we find how powerful our enemy truly is, because sin presents itself in so many ways, in pride, in fear, in hopelessness, in doubt, in anger, in lust, in greed, in covetousness, in apathy, in indifference, in hopelessness. He wants us to believe that God is not fair and doesn't care about you or me. He wants us to get deeper into his darkness, get angry at God, to reject his promises, and even to hate God. He wants you and me to abandon God's word so that we will totally be blinded and dark and dead. From the heavenly realms, Satan and his armies relentlessly attack our hearts with these and many more sins. We are helpless, and we must admit that because we know that we've given in to every one of his lies and sins. You see, evil isn't fascinating or cool. It is not something to be toyed with. It only leads to misery and sadness in this life. Just name one sin that has ever allowed you to prosper in your life. But more than that, it is damnable. And it leads to everlasting separation from the love and mercy of our Creator and our Redeemer. Satan's ultimate victory is to have us suffer with him in body and soul existence that is deprived of any hope and comfort for an eternity. Just ask Jesus. He's the one whom the Father chose to face Satan and all his allies. When Jesus did his reconnaissance, he determined there were two effective and indestructible weapons to fight him. Their truth and light. As promised and prophesied in the Garden of Eden after Satan won his first and decisive battle, God's Son was conceived by the Virgin Mary and assumed our human nature. For us and for our salvation, he lived a perfect human life. That means that everything he thought and did conformed to the truth that his Father demanded from each and every one of us. And when Satan and his evil army tempted him with lies and with doubts, he turned to the absolute truth of God's Word. Through Jesus, we know that nothing can overcome truth. And that second indestructible weapon was light. St. John tells us in his Gospel, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus exposed Satan for everything evil that he really is. He's not our friend. He doesn't offer us any wisdom or peace or happiness in our lives. And Jesus proves us that by destroying the darkness of sin in the most dramatic, life-changing battle that took place on that Friday that we call Good. Satan and his allies unleashed all their powers in a battle that took place on a cross. They saw the Son of God weighed down with the sins of all humanity. His death would mean that God lost and that they would win. And Jesus died. And the light was, for all they could tell, extinguished. But Jesus had done his reconnaissance. He knew his enemy, and he knew the power of their ultimate weapon. So he used death to his advantage, to pay the costly price of our rebellion and failure to live according to the truth. He overcame death by rising victoriously and defeating the greatest enemy of the devil. You see, the light was only dimmed for a moment. But now the light reveals that Satan and his armies have been defeated and they're scattered. And so John says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. You see, Jesus had studied his enemy well. He knew how to defeat him. And in that victory, he is able to give to you and to me the gifts that we need to stand before God one day. The gifts of forgiveness and holiness. In Jesus, we have been given victory over the whole army of the heavenly realms of darkness. And how we need it. How we need that victory. Even though Satan is defeated, he is still on the prowl. And like an injured animal, he still seeks to regain his foothold. So Peter says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him by being firm in the faith. And that's why Jesus' gifts of life and truth given to us through faith in him are so precious. They come out of spirit, to come out of spiritual blindness and darkness into the light is infinitely better than any earthly gift we could have. Being in the light simply means that I can be totally honest with myself and I can admit the sins that I have committed that have made a mess of my life. I can see what damage sin has done to me and to others. I can see why God hates sin so much. But I am free. Free to freely confess to my Lord my sinfulness, and trust him to forgive every last evil thought and word and deed because I see him. He is the light of my life. He's the one who has bought and paid for me with his own life. And Jesus has shined the light of grace on me too. He's opened my eyes to see all God has done for me because he loves me. That allows me, allows you as well, to see a grand purpose in life. to live in gratitude and grace, to be the best that we can be for him who has died for us. We don't live for our glory, we live for his. So, we look at our family as precious blood-bought souls whose mental, physical, and emotional and spiritual well-being are extremely important, not because we want them to just thrive here in this world, but we want to live forever with them in eternity. Whatever we can do to help our family grow in Jesus is the most important thing of all. And not only that, it helps us look at unbelievers differently, not with disgust or anger, but with a desire to do all we can to share the light of Jesus with them. And it changes the way that I look at my vocation, whether it's work or school or whatever, because we see those things as a means of giving God glory, of letting his light shine. And especially here and now, we are able to look at one another as fellow believers, as special friends of Jesus, people that we pray for, people that we lift up, people that we encourage to continue in the fight to faith. This is what the word of truth means when it says to us, live as children of light. To put on, as Paul is going to say in a moment, the full armor of God. What an awesome privilege it is to reflect the light of Jesus, the conqueror of all evil in all that we think and say and do. So once again, Jesus did his reconnaissance and won a decisive victory for us. And he promises victory for us over these dark enemies when we cling to him in faith. They still are going to throw their fury of their strength at us, but they will never be able to defeat our leader or us, for that matter. Jesus told us, I have told you these things so that you may have peace in me. In this world you are going to have trouble, but be courageous. I have overcome the world. Not just this world, but the world of the heavenly realms of darkness. As we live as children of light, let us keep watch for ourselves and for one another. And let us encourage each other, because one day we will see Satan and his armies locked up in everlasting chains, and we will live with Christ forever. And that's why the Son of God goes forth to war for us. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.